Yippee!
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 Listen, what's the title of this thing? No title again?
I'm Daddy Lonely, the Eledu Mare.
Rolling, Bob.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. Got that one in. So, of course, that means I'm in the road track in Sal. It is Thursday morning. It's a rare time for me, 10:45. Rare time for me to be podcasting, but I had to. As I mentioned, sometimes I just, the time comes and I've got to talk to you. I've got to get something out of my system. And there's a few things today. I'm going to try and race through them. So bear with me. Don't fast forward just yet. Okay. I've got a little magazine. It came in the mail from Chapters Indigo called Indigo Kids. What Kids Want. Be the Hero This Holiday. So this is your advertising for upcoming Christmas season. Now, Indigo, if you're American, you don't know, this was a chain bought by, God, I can't remember her last name. She bought out Kohl's, which was a small chain. I think they're all over the place. And you'd find them at any local mall. It was never too big. And I think they still exist, but they're owned by Indigo. So what happens? You go into Kohl's and you're only going to find things that are in Chapters. There's no surprises. And you got your magazines and a few books on special here and there, but not much. You have to fault the reading public or the not reading public, because you go into local malls and all there is now is like an Indigo Express or something at the Scarborough Town Center, our largest mall in Scarborough, and you go in there, and there are a few magazines. You've even stripped down the magazine section, and a few gift items and books, and basically nothing. And it saddens me so much. And it is such a reflection of our times. People aren't reading. Well, why do I need to? It's all on the internet. And it's terribly, terribly sad for me. But what's worse is, so they've wiped out the competition, right? Once Indigo came in and Chapters, it was first Chapters, and wow, this is amazing. They got sofas, they got every book available. Well, you walk into Chapters now, and holy fuck, what do you see? You see cushions, you see dinnerware, you see plates, you see cups with little cute slogans on them. You have to wade through all the shit gift items to get to the books. And like, the front is full. I took a picture when I was there a couple of weeks ago looking for a particular magazine, which I didn't realize I didn't need to buy. Just crap for your house. Stuff where they can make more money because people aren't buying books. Well, we're going to have to diversify and put in cushions and crap. And yet, meanwhile, this is the company that wiped out all the other independent bookshops that just couldn't compete with their volume, right? So in this magazine, which is What Kids Want from Indigo Kids, very cute, lots of pictures, you'd think, oh, okay, well, it's going to be all the books for children. Well, it is 52 pages, if I count the back, and there are 5 pages only devoted to books. Now, I counted, and maybe it was 7. But everything else is just things, toys for your kids, because that's how they're going to make their money, because people aren't reading. And so you can say, well, hey, man, that's business. Yeah, but it's business, which I hated when it first came in, because it was cutting out all the smaller ones. It's capitalism at its fucking worst. That's what it is. Fucking goddamn, throw that fucker down. It actually makes me angry. It's disgusting. Okay, calm down, Ken. Calm down. You go into along Kingston Road and you'll find a place called, oh my God, I just had the name and of course it's gone, A Favorite Bookstore. It'll come to me. It's a good name. And you walk in and you'll see the narrow aisles, and there'll be a dog you'll have to walk around, beautiful old dog. And there'll be some new books up there, and there'll be a very interesting window display, often reflecting what's going on, you know, in the news or in the media or whatever. You know, there'll be books that may relate to a theme. They usually do. It's carefully chosen. It's curated. That's a nice thing. You go into the back room, and then you're going to find, oh, there's the can lit section. Oh, and here's the music, drama, poetry. And there you'll find your books about Bob Dylan or the Beatles or whatever. And then another huge section on war. But these treasured, wonderful, old books that just, oh my God, there's my cat wants in. Sorry, Yuki, come on. She knows when I'm in the road trek. She gets, she climbs up on the hood. Oh, now she wants me to go and get her. So, listen, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to go and step out and get her. I'm wearing my, it's cold, so I've got my, Yuki. Yeah, come on down. Okay, come on. Now, come on, you can get in yourself. Come on, Yuki. Come on. Come and join me. All right, where were we? The Great Escape is the name of the bookshop. I knew I just had to move and my brain would kick into gear. So, it's just wonderful, and it is what a bookshop should be. Go to the other one on the Danforth I was talking about last week. I can't even remember what that's called. But I've talked about it on this podcast before. But okay, so I guess I can just park that. I mean, maybe not everybody likes to buy secondhand books. Not everybody wants to buy books. Lots of people use a library, and that's fine. That's good. But reading is what's important, okay? Reading. Well, there it takes me to a nice little segue. Canadian RV. RVing. Canada's favorite RV magazine. Well, I don't think it is. The trouble is, it tries to appeal to everybody. So it's trailers and motorhomes and, you know, they call fifth wheels and pickup trucks, and it'll be a bit of everything. But then it's not very thick. It's mostly advertising. What have we got? 50 pages. But I picked this up at Road Trek at their office yesterday. I was in having servicing done. I will get to that. I needed, when I'd gone in on that course in September, they said, oh, you need a bracket loose here in your generator. We can fix that for you. And I won't tell you how, well, I will tell you how special the service was. I'll never go back to another dealer now. They're ready to start taking on, so I'm going to have it winterized there instead of the place in London. And I will not go back to Owasco, west of here, which overcharged for almost everything. And I've dropped, I'm sure, a couple of $1,000 there unnecessarily on just things that, all right, that needs fixing. Yeah, we'll do that. We'll replace that. So, anyway, you know, I'm getting to the point. I know I'm a little revved up. They had, I had to sit and wait. Brought my lunch with me. That was fine. They had some magazines. I said, please don't take the latest one. So I didn't. I took a back issue. I think it's from April of Canadian RV Living. And I go online, I go inside, flipping through. There's a couple of articles I want to read. One about doing a cheese tour of Vermont and a couple of other things. And then there's an ad for online camping resources. And I say, ooh, Campendium. Ultimate resource for public, private, and wild camping options. Plus dump stations. Ooh, well, I need a dump station. Camping locations and reviews. Campendium also recently launched a free iPhone app for iOS users. So I got it, downloaded it, and I'll just test it out, because some of these things are, you know, they're just trying to get you to buy something else and get the premium edition. Right away, it tells me the nearest park right here in Scarborough, and you know, oh, because it's not just provincial parks, this is everything. And wow, it works beautifully. Well, I need a dump station. Well, that's going to be a little harder. They're not really listed. But I can find them under provincial campgrounds, and it takes me to a couple of places, you know, wilderness areas, conservation areas in Hamilton. So, boy, it sounds like I'm jumping around, but all of this is of a thread. I'm just not doing it in a particular straightforward order, which I'm not capable of doing anyway. Which is why I'm having such a problem writing. I'm still trying. I'm still thinking every single day about writing. How am I going to write my story? How am I going to deliver it? And I've tried a few ways, and each time I think I'm onto something, and it just, no, no, no. And I realized yesterday, it has to be as effortless to me as this podcast is. And I don't know if I'll ever find a way to, I don't know if that's possible in writing to be effortless. That's asking for the moon. And it's just given my lazy nature. But it's not just that. It's not just laziness. It's this podcasting that I'm doing right now in this present moment is so free-flowing. Whether you recognize that or not, I do. It's just spilling out in a very, for me, harmonious way. As crazy as it seems, it just feels good. It's just, there's just no effort. It just comes. And you can say, yeah, it shows, too, you know, that you haven't put any, oh, fuck you. Okay, let's get back on track. Take that needle, put it back to the previous track. Where were we? I had to take my road trek in to have this servicing done. Oh, Yuki has been in and out and is now jumping up the neighbor's tree. Okay, so I had to get the road trek done. They were incredibly good. I can't tell you, I don't want to give away the fact that I walked out, let's say, not any poorer for having the oil changed in my generator. The oil alone was $20. The 2 hours of servicing. Let's say I walked out with due to technicalities, it didn't cost me anything. Now, this is after the battles I've had with my insurance, with Rogers, and so on. And here's a guy with a smile. And not only that, he asked the secretary at the front desk, could you just open that cupboard for me? And he goes in and he gets me a toque. And I am the one piece of equipment, winter clothing I don't have is a toque. And he hands me a toque with the Road Trek logo and everything else. And a pair of gloves. And she says, well, here, take this too. Here's a can opener. This is a very neat one. So, I mean, that is just incredible, that kind of service and generosity from a company that really is like a family. So I have nothing but good things to say about Road Trek as an organization, as a vehicle, as a company, as a group of people. They've treated us so incredibly well on our 3-day owner's course. And it's just been followed up with absolutely great service. Now Yuki is back in and all excited and, you know, how they push with their paws onto the pillows and things. She's just loving this, being in here. But Yuki, I've left the door open for you. Okay, so that led me to this magazine. This magazine led me to this compendium. Compendium led me to these places in Hamilton, right on Lake Ontario, like little conservation areas that you can camp at, and they're still open. Well, holy shit. Now, I have to have this thing winterized. So we are still talking Road Trek, okay? It's got to be winterized because if the pipes freeze, it's like a cottage. You got a flooding problem and things break. So there's two ways to do it. The normal way is you just drain all the water out and add antifreeze, this sort of pink food-grade antifreeze, till it's running out of your taps, and then everybody knows, okay, it's all throughout the system. Nothing bad's going to happen when you're parked in freezing temperatures. But before you do that, you have to empty your tanks, you know, with all the piss and everything else has gathered, your black and your gray tanks, the wastewater tanks you've got to empty. Well, you can't just do that in your driveway. Ooh, neighbors wouldn't be happy about that, nor would my wife. So I use this compendium. Well, where can I drain my tanks? Well, it comes up with these places. Now, I was going to go to Bronte. I know. I'm asking too much of you to continue listening to this, but I did have a point. And the point is about being open to the little things that come in your way that can enter your life and change direction, change things. So here I am. I've got to empty these tanks. There isn't a place where I can just drive the vehicle up and dump all the wastewater out. But you can do that at a campsite. So there is one campsite still open in near Burlington, Bronte Creek Provincial Park. But because I found this thing, oh, that gives me a Hamilton option, which is even closer. I could go there, too. Now, I don't know where we're going to go, but I will be talking to you from one of those two spots. And either way, it'll be the right one, because it really doesn't make a whole lot of difference to where I'm going. Gee, you know, this seems so important to me earlier. And now that I tell you, I've missed the main idea is the randomness of life, okay? If you can be open to the randomness, if you can be open to the fact that I'm in sitting in the Road Trek office, there's a sign that says, please don't take the latest edition, but meaning you can take an earlier one. So I take this April one, and it opens up this compendium idea, this thing, hey, you can download this. I download it, and it is going to change my travel directions. It's going to have an impact on so many choices I make. And I don't fully know what that means, except it's not about the future, it's about the present. And the presents are going to be different. The fact that whether I'm sitting in Bronte Creek or this conservation area in Hamilton on Lake Ontario, it's going to be a different experience. And either one I know will be good. I'll have my books, I'll have my beer, I'll have my wine, I'll have my comfort, I'll have my sleeping bag, I'll have my heater ready to go on if it's cold. It's going to be great either way, but it seemed so important to be aware that the most random encounters, me picking this particular magazine, opening it to something, downloading that piece of software, is going to have an impact, and that will continue to ripple and ripple and ripple. And that is so different from a very structured life where you sit back and you make plans. And, all right, I want to go to Disneyland. That just came up as an example, but because you've got to plan it, you've got to book your hotels, you've got to think around all these other things. And I don't want to live that way. Now, there's something else that's happened. I've been on, God, here we go, this is going to be another 20 minutes. I am sorry, but I'm on so many forums on Facebook over road treks and, you know, specifically. But one of the things talked about this gathering in Arizona. And it's a gathering that started with people. It's called the Rubber Tramp Rendezvous or something like that. Rubber meaning road rubber. And people gather in this unused desert that the government lets people use and just get together. And it started off very small, with a few basically vagabond types who are living, most of them, many of them, full-time in their RVs or their cars. These are not just road trek people. These are just, you know, a pickup truck with a canopy on the back or whatever. And I think, well, that sounds interesting. And then I look at it. It's Quartzsite, Arizona. Wow. Now it's up to 3,000, 3,500 vehicles showing up in January. Well, I found that randomly on one post. Somebody mentioned, are you going this year? And I track it down. I go, well, I get a little more information, dig it up, find out. Next thing I know, I'm on the site. I'm watching videos of the guy who started this thing and is hosting it. And wow, this guy's pretty interesting. Bob Wells, I think his name. I could put up a link. And the more I look at it, the more I think, well, you know, I get the map out, I'm Googling, okay, wow, all right. Do I want to go to a gathering with 3,000 people, or more than that, in Quartzsite, Arizona in January? And I'm starting to think, yes, yes, I do. Because not far from there is the border with California with Joshua Tree National Park, which is the place I wanted to go to in the beginning. And this is just like a sign that, hey, get there, get into this campsite, hang out with these people, see what it's like. Move on after that, cross the border, get into Joshua Tree. You don't really have to do San Francisco this time. Loop your way back, because I've got a court case over a parking in, or a driving infraction that I may have to be back for late January, which really puts a damper on this thing, but I could still do it. I could still be there for this gathering. And all that because some random post on one of the six groups or so, or eight of road trek or enthusiasts that I decided to dig up and research, just like this little compendium thing. In other words, I'm excited to be at a state of my life where I can be open to opportunities that just sort of come along in the most random of fashions. This is nowhere near as good as I hoped it would be. I thought I would be able to present this in a more clear fashion, but I guess because I wanted to share the idea, can you do that in your life? And most of you are not my age, and of course you can't, because you've still got structure. I've still got a wife at home who today, as she left, I said, I love you, and she had the biggest smile on her face and made some very funny comment in return. And it was quite a beautiful thing. And there was kind of a randomness to that, because I don't do that often enough. And yet, I'm reading about these people who just want to minimalize their life and give up everything and get rid of their possessions and get in a vehicle and just live out of that vehicle on the road all the time to have this tremendous amount of freedom. And I'm thinking, wow, I don't think I'm ready for that yet. I certainly know my wife would never be ready for such a lifestyle. And I do like the comforts of where I am, parked in the driveway of my home. So this isn't the time to completely abandon all structure, but it is the time to be open to the randomness, to the opportunities, to the possibilities. Like the time I went to Lowell, like going to Jukasa, going to Mossport. This is just so fucking wonderful. So here's the message. If nothing else, here is the message. Here. If later on in life, when you retire, when you've got free time, and you're thinking, what do I do now? Do I just stay at home and watch TV and die? Get yourself a vehicle. Get yourself a trailer. Get yourself a motorhome. And get on the fucking road and open your life to possibilities. Endless, random possibilities. That's the message. That's it. Thank you for being so patient with me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Check, check, check. Okay, I said when I left off I would talk to you from wherever I chose to go to. And I did pick the original spot, Bronte Creek. It's a provincial campground. It's the last weekend it's open. It seems they're having some Halloween celebrations. It's close enough to the city. It's in Burlington. It was a wonderful drive right across the city on the Gardiner Expressway. And, gosh, you know, it's pretty damn close here in an hour, just over an hour, which is great from Scarborough coming across the city. I chose Friday because, there just wasn't a whole lot of traffic. But anyway, here I am sitting in my nice road check chair. I've already built the fire. It's not on, of course. I haven't lit it. But it's one of the things you do when you come to your site. I asked for a secluded spot, and I've got one. There's not many people here today. It's kind of overcast, but it's not raining. It's not snowing. And it's not overly cold. Foolishly, I left. I had two winter coats in the hallway. I looked at both of them and said, nope, I'm not bringing one. And it would be a great thing to snuggle up in, you know, but I don't know. It's a mental block. No, it's not winter yet. And I've got enough, you know, to keep me warm and figured, no, if it's cold, I'm going to spend a lot of time inside the road trek. But right now I'm sitting outside at the picnic table in my chair, and I just wanted to greet you and get this started. I almost didn't come. I thought, well, do I really need to go? Well, I do need to go because I have to empty my waste tanks. And, you know, I paid $25 to camp here, and that will include being able to flush out both the tanks when on my way out tomorrow. I'm only going to stay the one night. I brought a steak with me and some leftover Chinese food, rice and stuff. I can microwave, so yeah, I'm good to go. And, you know, I just wanted to have one more, you know, this is one more provincial spot off the list. And it's a spot I'd say I'll come back to. It's not on a lake. It's not on Lake Ontario. But it's in a very heavily wooded spot. You'd be surprised. You can still hear in the distance some traffic noises and airplanes overhead. But it's quite nice, especially the spot where I'm at. I think on the weekends during the summer, it's full of, I guess, city dwellers, you know. Anyway, what was it I wanted to say? I made a bit of a ramble in the preceding clip. I don't think I really honed in on what it was I wanted to express. I guess it was kind of just an openness to the unknown. Being able to do things sometimes on a whim, I guess that's part of it. If you're fortunate enough to be free enough to do that, when you're trapped into a job and have other responsibilities holding you back, you know, well, not so easy. I've just been lucky all my life, fortunate, that I've been free of a lot of responsibilities. And you may think, well, how'd you do that, man? And part of it is maybe it's selfishness, and it comes down to, you know, because I want to be free. Anyway, I got it in my mind last year when I went to Lowell. People said, oh my God, you got to visit Walden. It's not that far away. It's on the Merrimack River, I guess. And I didn't. This next year, if I go to Lowell, for sure I will visit Walden. And I thought, well, I can't do that unless I buy the book. So looked around, found, I went to my favorite bookstore, The Great Escape. I mentioned that. And I had, they had four copies. So I've got one. And then I realized, wow, that's pretty heavy slogging. This guy was born 200 years ago. The style of English, you're not going to breeze through this book. So I figured this book is going to stay in the road trek, and it'll be something like, even the introduction is 30 pages written by a professor, and it's very interesting. You know, I randomly hear, undoubtedly Emerson overstates the radical independence of individuals, although he doesn't do so with often acutely ironic sense of just how embedded even the most self-reliant individual is in the larger machinery of social and historical networks. Okay, you know, that's slow going. That's really slow going. So this is not going to be a cover to cover, but it's a lovely thing because it's Walden and civil disobedience. So what I thought, I will keep this in the Road Trek. This is part of the permanent Road Trek library, and I will just be able to dip in and out and read quotes and passages here and there as it suits me. Now, the reason I'm talking about that is because, as I posted on Twitter, or no, it was Facebook, actually, as I was leaving the Great Escape, they had a book bin outside with some half-price books, one of which was Aldous Huxley, an English intellectual by Nicholas Murray, a biography. And I said, you know, that sounds good. And then Huxley, well, of course, Huxley, man, oh, man, the man who experimented with mescaline and just what an interesting heritage, what an interesting man. And I am thrilled. And part of that was because I went to this shop to find Walden, Thoreau's Walden, and found this as well. And that's the kind of the openness I'm talking about. Now, one more point on that. I did my rant on Chapters. Chapters had a brand new copy of Walden for $6. And in the same rack, they had other classics. And it was $3 for $10. And, well, that's ridiculous. $3 for $10. One for $6 or $3 for $10. Fuck you and your stupid pricing. And no, I'm not going to buy a copy from you, Indigo, Chapters. Fuck you. I will go to my local bookshop. And sure enough, I phoned them up. And yes, we got copies. And then she went down to the basement and bought up three more copies and let me choose which particular copy I wanted. It turned out I got the one I wanted. It was only $4. But this added bonus of this Huxley book. And so one of the reasons for coming out to this campground today, and this is why I'm going to shut up right now. Oh, God damn it, it's a bit windy and chilly, though. That winter coat would have been so nice. So I got to get on a couple of other layers. Asshole that I am for not listening to the inner voice, the smart guy saying, hey, you might want to bring this heavy winter coat. But the whole plan was, no, this is just, I'm just coming out to read. I will build a fire later and do that and probably have a little bit of my weed. The weed, by the way, it's very nice. It's complete. It's a much lower THC content. And I was mentioned on previous times, I got into some freaky spaces sometimes. Like, ooh, this is too much over the top. This is really mild, and it's a very nice, gentle high. And this is, again, this is the indica. And I do notice a difference. So that's what I brought with me. Last night, Only Cafe, just a quick update. Brian's in town. His girlfriend's back from China, so we sneak in a Thursday night gathering. The lovely Lisa joins us. And then Brian's son, the doctor, who lives up in Nunavut but travels the world, joined us in. And it was the most amazing, wonderful evening, especially after me dipping out for a toke. A very intense, very personal, very deep conversations about, I guess, the spectrum that human beings lie around between, are on between extremes of feminism, or femininity, I don't know, and masculinity, and everything in between, and how parts of us are all made up of both sexes, and parts of all of us are a bit gay or homosexual as well. And it was a very intense, very interesting conversation. That's all I want to say. And I just love the fact that I have this place, the Only Cafe, my bar, my pub, my place to have these gatherings with friends and have good beer and intimate, enjoyable, satisfying conversations. What more could you want? Which is why I'm so grateful for having such a blessed life. All right, fuck you. Shut up, Ken. We've had enough. We've heard that before. Christ almighty. Get into your book. All right, that's what I'll do. Bye for now.
Roads will lead you to trouble, while a light road will lead you. going to my new jail tomorrow. That's a place I have never been before. And when my woman comes to see me, I'll meet her with a smile at the door. Don't never be downhearted. Where there's a will, there's a way. Tomorrow the sun may be shining, although it is cloudy today. Don't this road look dark and lonesome? Don't the sea look blue and deep? Will you ever think of me, darling, when you cannot hear me speak? Oh, don't ever be downhearted, for where there's a will, there's a way. Tomorrow the sun may be shining, although it is cloudy today. Dark road's a hard road to travel. A light road is always the best. Dark road will lead you to trouble, while a light road will lead you to rest.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. It is not a good morning weather-wise. It's wet, it's damp, it rained during the night, and that doesn't bother me in the least. I had my day yesterday. I was only coming up for one day, and yesterday it was nice. I had that fire going till about 8 o'clock. Came in, ate my steak, and heated up leftover rice, Chinese food. And, boy, I had a glass of wine, or a few glasses of wine. A couple of beer. A roach. Well, more than the roach, half a J around the fire. Well, all very, very pleasant. And, you know, that to some of you, that may sound like, oh, my God, must have been wasted. No, not at all. It's just spaced out over the several hours. And, sorry. So anyway, it's morning. I don't know what time. It's probably not much later. Well, it's not even 10 o'clock. I don't think less than that. And, I woke a couple of times during the night. As always, when I'm camping or even when I'm at home. God damn. I know some people would just stop this recording and come back later and start fresh, but not me. The nice thing about waking up in the middle of the night, you're so cozy. I mean, I'm in the sleeping bag, and it was cold. I don't leave the heater on during the night. I put it on this morning to take the chill out. I think I may have to stop. Anyway, you wake up and you just got this little overhead light and you turn it on, you reach over and you get your book. I'm deep into the Huxley book, the biography. I love biographies, and especially of famous people, interesting people. And his time, like, he was a young man during World War II. He had damage to his eyes and was unfit for service. And it's just describing, the fairly wealthy. I guess the British, when the class system, I guess, was still intact, it's kind of finished after the war. So it might be when you watch that show, that great series that went on for several seasons, with the rich family. It was the show was the name of the house, I think, or the home. Anyway, you get an insight into that. You know, people who are living a different life, but they're also, they're intellectuals. They're more intelligent than the mob. Certainly, they're a class apart. Let's put it that way, a class apart. And I find that interesting. I can trace family roots back on my mother's side to people who would have been on the upper levels of that class system. Absolutely. It's certainly a long way from where I am. I think the Canadian in me and in my father's side levels things out quite quickly. Anyway, it's interesting. I love it. And just that coziness of just, I'll just read them for a little bit, you know, and then go back to sleep. And then in the morning, you know, you got your routine. I've got to take my meds and my orange juice that's cold in the fridge, and then make that pot of coffee and just sit here and put on some absolutely fabulous Ella Fitzgerald. Billie Holiday. And just what a wonderful way to start the morning, sitting here with your coffee, your book, and a little Billie Holiday. Last night I put on a lot of music CDs I hadn't heard for a long time while I sat inside and ate my steak. So the coziness is, I guess, what I'm trying to explain here. It's just such an absolutely wonderful feeling, you know, that, and you've got everything. You've got your stove, you've got your fridge, you've got your heater, you've got your bed. You're just so self-contained, and that's why here it is. It's wet outside. You know, I stepped outside to take a piss, and the only thing I have to do today is empty my tanks, and that's the only reason, really, the main reason I came here. I wanted to find out about this place. It's great. It's a wonderful little escape from Toronto and be a place where, if you wanted to organize a group camper, I understand it's very busy on the weekends during the summer, full up, because it's so close to the city. But you could, you know, it could be a convenient place for a rendezvous. We talked when we were at the fire camp with John Leshinsky about organizing a camping weekend sometime, and he was all for it. That would be great fun. Get a group of podcasters, friends, just camping for a weekend. I don't know what equipment people have. I think most people would have tents, but hey, that's how people camp. I did for most of my life until I got this thing. Anyway, I'm going to stop there. I do have to blow my nose. And I want to get back to reading this book and just finish off my coffee. I got a little brandy in the coffee. And I won't make tracks for at least another hour, maybe even longer. So Scarborough Dude, just bringing you up to date on this little camping excursion at Bronte Creek Provincial Park. Bye for now. I forgot. There's one more thing I wanted to mention. Last night, for the first time, I slept in the single bed. Now, normally, you put a tabletop between the two couch sort of things there in the back, and then take the cushions that are on the lining the walls, place those down, and you've got a king-size bed. And then I always cover it with a sheet or something, or a quilt or something to fill in all the gaps, and then I sleep diagonally, and I've got the full length, you know. And last night, I thought, no, I'm going to try without putting that board down, just in the singles, because otherwise you have two single beds, you know, where the sofa runs. So you turn your sofa down, and you've got this open space in the middle, making it very easy to get in and out, and then two singles. And I slept in the one, and I did all right. I'm parked, I realize now, I'm on a bit of a slant, so it's a wonder I didn't fall off the bed. You're supposed to level these things, but I don't. But what it means is it opens it up. Finally, for the first time ever, I've slept that way so that I could accommodate another passenger. Somebody else could sleep there. And that's, I kind of had to do that as an experiment. And this, believe it or not, this is kind of a turning point. It was, yeah, it's possible. I could get a decent sleep. Somebody else. So if I went on a trip and I wanted to share the cost of the gas or whatever, or have my wife come along just to try it out for a weekend, we've got sleeping arrangements. We're good to go. This can accommodate two sleepers. And up until now, it's only been me. So there you go. That's all. Just had to throw that in there. It is just one more little, you know, check mark in the history of my relationship with Sal here. Thanks, Sal. Bye for now. I sat here for a few minutes in the road trick in the back, very comfortably. I've got the bed up at the bench at a new angle. I've left it from when I was camping with remember I said I was sleeping on one side. So I've still got my sleeping bag stretched out here. It's kind of nice to see. It's so bloody cozy. Jesus. Anyway, I sat here for a couple of minutes before hitting on the recorder to think, okay, what do you really want to talk about? You got 10 minutes, try and be focused. And nothing would come. I thought, no, all I wanted was, I'd like to be a little more mellow. I probably sound, I don't know if I sound, well, I sound like a lunatic sometimes, I know that. But I think everybody has got to be stressed by the news, especially all of that coming from south of the border. I know it rattles me, and I've loosened my addiction a little bit, or lessened my addiction to the news. CNN, it's really got, I mean, I hated it to start with, and I got drawn to it when they were first complaining about Trump, and now it's just really, he said, she said, and just arguments back and forth. It's not news, and it's, I mean, all the news has become entertainment, and then you get the top stories that will just be carried on every channel, you know, the latest plane crash and the horrible incident in Philadelphia, of a man walking in with heavily armed and just killing people because they were Jews walking into a synagogue. And, you know, this is all so sick. And before that, the pipe bombs that weren't meant to go off but were meant to scare people. And before that, somebody else is killing a couple of people because they're black. And before that, and on it goes. Oh, sorry, here I am bringing it up when I'm trying to get away from it. But, I mean, all of that gets to us. And when you read articles about the possibility of a civil war in the United States and its impact on Canada, where we like to think we're safe from all of that, oh my God. The world really is in a state of stress. I was saying to my son that, you know, one of the most hopeful things I ever heard, I think I probably mentioned it, hopefully not on this podcast, but probably the one before, was talking to that Buddhist monk and saying, no, these are still our teenage years in human evolution, or in our youth, and this is when people are wild and they fight and they're crazy, and I really like to believe that's true, if we will get past this, and who knows, I mean, we could, you know, it could all end here, but anyway, God damn, I mean, this is not mellow, this is not relaxing. Okay, let's pick up that needle and drop it somewhere else. I've still spend an incredible amount of time choosing the music for this podcast. It's a weird thing, partly because I just like to go through and listen, and you know, whereas these recordings that you're listening to, there's no filtering. It's just I turn it on, I talk, and I shut it off, and then slap it all together, and in between put these tunes. So this one, I hope you've enjoyed. I've got, I don't know how many tunes I've played. It's a very long spreadsheet. I have a record of all of them. But on this one, you will have heard the Black and White Rag, and that is the fourth tune I put in that spot on this podcast. It's from hits of the 1950s. And what's wonderful, like, it's about 100 hits from the 1950s. And I swear I knew every one of those songs, because those are the days before the multi-channel universe we live in, when the radio was on and this is what you heard. And I guess I had radio all the time. I know I had a rocket radio. There was always radios on. And pretty well every one of those songs from the 1950s, I know, and I love this stuff. I mean, they're all love songs, can't say I love them all, but there's a familiarity there that children today would never have, because there are so many different stations and so many different types of music, and it's like TV shows or what's on the internet. It's not stuff that's shared with your family, whereas the stuff I heard when I was in elementary school, my parents would have heard, too. We all listened to Perry Como and Dean Martin and so on. Anyway, I put that on because it's from the 1950s. And then A Hard Road to Travel. A Dark Road to Travel, sorry. A Dark Road is a Hard Road to Travel. A little old-time bluegrass, because that's a country and western, because that's the stuff I love. Followed by a great little Dave Brubeck clip, just to zip you along. And it's a nice balance between the Black and White Rag. This is a boogie-woogie. And I think I'm going to end with a song that, with a shout-out to Jason Rieses, who's temporarily put a halt to his personal podcasting, but of course is up there on, you know, working with other Jason and that mad bunch that he's in a group with that, what's his name? Brent used to be a member of. Anyway, he's out there. Just put his own on hiatus for a while. And I just love this song. I found it again today and I played it again. So I think I'm going to end the podcast with is it the Cowboy Rodeo? The Rodeo song. And Jason gave that to me, and I thank you, Jason. It's a weird shout-out song, but that's what it is. I played it three times in a row, and I would just keep playing. I can't wait to hear it again. It's just, I don't know, certain things grab me, and that one, it's the language, it's the way he says it, it's the in-your-face-ness of it all, and plus it's a catchy tune, so that's what I'm going to end with. That's kind of, there's my happy note for you. Fuck it all. Anyway, what else? Cats, of course, Yuki wants in and out now that the cold weather is coming. I'm still trying to arrange for winterizing this podcast. I've got an appointment Wednesday in London. I think, geez, and now I really don't want to drive to London. And people have told me, having there's two ways of doing it. And normally you just fill it up with antifreeze. Which I could do myself. I'm still not ready for that. I just know I, you know, there are so many. Oh, and P.S. One more step. Oh, yeah. And don't forget to shut this valve. And it just strikes me at any one point when a person like me who can't follow clear instructions, I'm just bound to screw up. So anyway, for now, that's fine. I don't mind. I'll pay for it. But I can't get hold of my man at Road Trek to say, hey, set me up with an appointment so I can cancel this other one. I have a good friend who's getting closer and closer to being committed to getting, if not a Road Trek, something similar, and that would be great. Happy to hear about that. That would be the, I'm not going to say it. I'll keep it personal for now. Anyway, I guess, man, I suppose I could just end here. I think about you, the listener? Do I care? You know, I mean, in the beginning, one of my claim to fame was I always said, fuck you, stop listening. If anybody had anything critical to say, but I do hope, it's the one wish I always have that there'd be a surprise listener. Somebody is listening and actually appreciating this. And I know some of you are, and I'm not putting the pressure on those of you who already have. If somebody who's never contacted me but actually listens to this, or they're new to it, to send me a message. It's easy. Email DixonJanes, DixonJanes, DixonJanes @gmail.com. You know, or find me on Facebook, Ken Bowl. You know, look for me. But send me a message. And even if you think, you know, it doesn't have to be flattery. It's just to know that somebody out there is listening, and very nice if you actually cared. Would be great if you actually liked the kind of shit I'm doing. I'm just trying to be a human being, and I guess the other thing I'm doing is I'm trying to share growing old with you, because I know my listeners are younger. Old people aren't listening to this, and it's a journey. And it's a different kind of journey, and there are sometimes you get little scary parts, like I've talked about last time, about just forgetting shit and having a failure with words just to get out the right ones, and you've probably heard that, and just not being as quick on the draw, or just something you just don't get, you know, weird little things that happen that in themselves are probably not all that important, but I guess that's the journey I want to share. It's, hey, this is what you got to look forward to. Your brain is going to turn to mush. But it's really not that bad. You can still enjoy life. That's my message. You can still really enjoy life and still take on new challenges. This whole Road Trek experience for me, believe me, this was a challenge. And I grow more and more comfortable every day with this thing. And that's wonderful. I don't leave it too late. I got this just in time 2 years ago, and I know the day will come, and maybe not that far into the future, when I just can't handle the driving anymore. I'm making too many mistakes, and, I'm just not so comfortable. But let's not go there just yet. Let's still look forward to the adventures ahead. That's what I'm going to do, and I'd like to take you along. I think there's a very good chance, I don't know, but there's a chance in January next year, 2019, we'll be in Arizona. So stay tuned for that alone. Scabbard Dude, signing off on an attempt at an upbeat note. Bye for now.
Well, it's 40 below, and I don't give a fuck. Got a heater in my truck, and I'm off to the rodeo. It's elemental left and elemental right. Come on, you fucking dummy, get your right step right. Get off stage, you goddamn goof, you know. Piss me off, fucking jerk. Get on my nerves. Here comes Johnny with his pecker in his hand. He's a one-ball man and he's off to the rodeo. It's elemental left and elemental right. Come on, you fucking dummy, get your right step right. Get off stage, you goddamn goof, you know. Piss me off,
fucking jerk. Get on the nerves. Well, it's 40 below and I ain't got a truck and I don't give a fuck cause I'm off to the rodeo. It's elemental left and elemental right. Come on, you fucking dummy, get your right, step right. Get off the stage, you goddamn goof, you know. You piss me off, fucking jerk. Get on nerves. Well, here comes Johnny with his pecker in his hand. He's a one ball man and he's off to the rodeo. It's elemental left and elemental right. Come on, you fucking dummy, get your right, step right. Get off the stage, you goddamn goof, you know. Piss me off, fucking jerk, get on nerves.